Les colloques du Collège de France.
Je pense qu'on est prêt pour commencer cette séance de l'après-midi. Merci beaucoup pour attendre et patiemment à notre arrivée des intervenants. Et cette première séance, on aura deux interventions. On commence par Ignacio Sánchez, et que j'ai le plaisir de présenter, parce que ça fait très longtemps qu'on ne s'est trouvé pas dans la même salle de conférences. Il est chercheur Beatriz Galindo à l'Université de Castilla-La Mancha et le directeur de l'École des traducteurs de Tolède. Il a auparavant occupé des postes académiques à University of Warwick à Londres, à la Humboldt de Berlin et à l'University of Cambridge. Ses recherches portent sur l'histoire intellectuelle et culturelle du Moyen-Âge, la littérature arabe, ainsi que l'histoire de la médecine et des sciences. Il a publié de nombreux travaux dans ces domaines, notamment des éditions critiques et des traductions, et parmi lesquelles l'œuvre géographique de Ikhwan Safar. Ses recherches actuelles portent sur la culture documentaire mozarabe dans les Tolèdes des XIIe et XIIIe siècles. Il est éditeur de la section consacrée aux sciences de la Encyclopédie of Islam, fondateur et rédacteur en chef exécutif de la revue académique Endowment Studies de Brill, ainsi que directeur éditorial exécutif de la collection Al-Andalus. Et aujourd'hui, il va nous parler d'embryologie, astronomie et des réceptions de Ikhwan Safar. Merci beaucoup, Ignacio.
Well, thank you very much, Nuria, for your introduction and François for this kind invitation. As you can see, I'm the one speaking in English. I'm sorry about that, but my French is very bad. Later, if you want to make any questions, you can use French. It won't be a problem. Paul Casanova, among his many writings and interests, also addressed the writings of the Ikhwan Safar. He wrote a few articles, two of them, in which he clearly addresses some problems with the Ikhwan Safar. He is well known as the founder of the Risala Jamia, the all-encompassing epistle, which is like a summary of the Rasa'il. He found that, and he was the first one who made the connection with the Ikhwan Safar. And he also has an article, which is the second one listed here, in which he proposed a dating for the epistles of the Ikhwan Safar, which, probably you know that Ikhwan Safar is a pen name of a group of anonymous scholars. We don't know exactly where they lived, and nothing in the text suggests a dating. But he found in some astronomical discussions about Kiranat, about conjunctions, a possible date. He suggested that in the 11th century, which later on was rejected and refuted. But he was also in this regard, in the study of the Rasa'il of the Ikhwan Safar and their connections with the Fatimids and the Ismaili thought. He was a pioneer. So my talk is not about this specific topic, but Paul Casanova will be present in spirit, because I'm going to discuss some related themes. I'm going to talk about the dating or the early dating by discussing the reception of the Ikhwan Safar in Al-Andalus. And I would talk, as Casanova did, about astronomy and astrology and how the Ikhwan Safar connect this subject with other aspects of human life. So this is pretty much what I'm going to say. I'm going to talk about embryology in connection with astrology in the Rasa'il of Ikhwan Safar, then how this appears in Al-Andalus in a physician or an historian called Arif ibn Said, and then discuss these two testimonies in a broader context. So, the Juana Safa. As I mentioned before, when I talk about Casanova, the dating was a problem. We don't even know the identities of these writers. We have a testimony by Atauhidi, well, he gives some names, but still we don't know if he was right or not. They are an anonymous group of people, and they write under this pen name, Juana Safa. The dating was a problem from the very beginning. Casanova suggested that it was shortly before 1047, so in the 11th century, but this was refuted afterwards because there are some testimonies in Al-Andalus about an earlier reception, especially from Ibn Khaldun, who claims that the Rasail were written by an Al-Andalusi author called Maslama al-Masriti. Then scholars who studied Ibn Khaldun, they realized that al-Masriti was not the author of the Rasail, but he introduced them, they claim, or they believe, into Al-Andalus. There's yet another Maslama in the picture, a second one, Maslama ibn Qasim al-Qurtubi, which later on, and thanks to the study of Maribel Fierro, was found that he was the one introducing the Juana Safa in Al-Andalus, and the author of two works which are very related with this collection of epistles. One is called the Rutbat al-Hakim, The Rank of the Sage, his work on alchemy, and the second one is called Ghayat al-Hakim, which probably you all know in the Latin name, Picatrix, is also alchemical and esoteric work written by Maslama al-Qurtubi. So with this, the dating of the arrival of Juana Safa's Rasail into Al-Andalus becomes a little bit clearer. So Maslama ibn Qasim al-Qurtubi traveled to the east, and he came back to Al-Andalus with a copy of the Rasail, probably between 950 and 959, so by mid-10th century, which is pretty much one century earlier than the date suggested by Casanova. Still, this depends on very flimsy evidence, just suggestions found in the text and two colophons of this Rubat al-Hakim and Ghayat al-Hakim studied by Godefroy de Calatay. What I want to present now is another testimony that may shed some light into the reception of the Juan in Al-Andalus and also about the dating. And apart from that, this broadens the context of the study of this work beyond the very narrow focus that we usually find, especially in Al-Andalus, where all the reception of the Juan is focused on the Batinism, meaning the esoteric influence in the treatment of secret texts and in notions such as Batin, Zahir, Haswell, Am, and Taqiyya. So all the research is pretty much focused on these esoteric aspects. So I will today present another testimony that deals with embryology and astrology. So the epistle number 25 of the Rasail, it's a collection of 52. Epistle number 25 is part of the section on natural philosophy, the Tabi'iyat, and it's entitled The Place Where the Drop of Semen Falls, Maskat ad-Nutfa. It's a description of the fetal development in the womb of the female and how it is related with the spheres, so the seven planets. To summarize, you can see that the months of the pregnancy are related with the seven planets. The first one is Saturn, second one Jupiter, third Mars, fourth the Sun, fifth Venus, Mercury, sixth, seventh the Moon, and then they go back and say on the 8th is again Saturn, and the 9th is Jupiter. So the 9th month of the pregnancy are governed by these planets, and each of them imparts specific qualities into the developing of the fetus. This is, if you know a little bit of the Juana Safa, they claim that there's a direct relationship between the sublunar sphere and the sphere of the planets. So everything that happens in the planet sphere has an influence in the man, and the man is like a microcosmos. So there's a direct relationship between the man and the cosmos as a whole. So I'm going to summarize the description of this fetal development. It's an entire chapter, and it has several pages, so I'm just giving snippets. But in general, it says that the first month is governed by Saturn, and in this one, the heat of the sperm coagulates the menstrual blood into a clot and circles like an egg, white around the yolk. And this is all because Saturn is cold and it stabilizes this. It's important to note that the terminology used by the Juana Safa is Quranic. They use nutfa, which is the term that you find in the Quran for semen, and alaka, this is wrong, alaka, which is the title of the surah, Surah Al-Alaka. The terminology used in this text and other texts I'm going to comment on is not the one that we find in medical texts. When you find texts dealing with embryology or obstetrics, they use for semen mani or ma, be it female or male, but they don't use nutfa and they don't use alaka. So it's important to know that this is Quranic terminology. The second month is governed by Jupiter, and in this one, heat generates within the clot, and waters mix, humors blend, and tempering and digestion in this mix begins. Month three, it's governed by Mars. Intense heat transforms the clot into a red lump of flesh. They use the term murda, which is also a Quranic term. It appears in the Surat al-Alaq. And in this third month, the consolidation of the fetus continues. Month four is governed by the sun. In this one, the sun, they say, breathes into the embryo, the spirit of life. So the animal soul penetrates the structure. Bones, joints, nerves, and arteries become visible, and this is a critical phase because animal ensoulment takes place. Then, month fifth, Venus is the planet governing this. The structure is perfected, and then eyes, nostrils, mouth, and ears become formed, and joints differentiate, and sexual characteristics appear. In this month, is when they discuss also the sex of the embryo according to the position, which is something that you find in other texts. Then month six, governed by Mercury. In this one, the fetus awakens to movement and sensation. It kicks, stretches, breathes, and it becomes aware of the narrowness of the space. In this discussion, the Juana Safa go a little bit farther and include the question of theology and God's justice, because the baby is sensible, he can sense that he's in a narrow space, and they quote the introduction of Borzoi of the Kalila and Dimna, where there's a description of the baby in the womb. So they quote that, but they claim that the baby doesn't feel pain and he doesn't feel the narrowness. It's very interesting, this section. Then month seventh is governed by the moon. The growing continues, and the body strengthens and hardens. Month eighth, which is a critical one, because it goes after the cycle of the seven planets goes back to Saturn, which is a dangerous planet. And if a baby is born in this month, it's very difficult that he lives. So 8 months is the critical one for the Ikhwan. If the baby is born with 7 months, has more chances, according to them. And then finally, month 9 is Jupiter. Comes back, governing this month, and the fetus is fully formed. And once he is ready to get out of the womb, he's born and he receives, at that moment, the ensoulment, or the rational soul. So this is pretty much the description of the Juan and Safa. It's a long chapter. So here we find many of the features of the Ikhwan's thought. They relate this sphere of the planets with the man, so the microcosmos, in this case represented by the embryo. And they use hierarchical ensoulment. So at the very beginning, it's the vegetative soul, which is the one present. Then at the 4th month, they receive the animal soul. And finally, upon being born, they receive the rational soul. This is a tripartite Platonic division that they use. This description is rather original. And I didn't know of any other examples until recently, where I found another one in an Andalusi author called Ali Ibn Said. He was born in Cordoba around 918, died in 970. He was influential politically, and as an intellectual, he wrote history. He worked on astronomical and meteorological works, and he also is the author of this text I'm going to discuss. It's a text on embryology and the treatment of the pregnant women, and it's called Halq al-Janin wa Tadbir al-Habala wal-Mawludin. In this text, we find a similar description that he doesn't present as his own. He distances himself from that, saying that this is what those who believe in astrology and the governance of the planet say. So he attributes it to other people. But you can see it's very similar. The wording is not the same, but the structure is almost identical. So the first month is Saturn, which is a cold, dry, and corrupted planet. And semen remains congealed without sensation of movement. He uses also Quranic terminology for semen. Then Jupiter grows, increase, and at this time he claims that you can differentiate the sex already. Mars governs the 3rd month, and the semen becomes like meat with nerves. Month 4th, movement begins, just as in the Juan. And month 5th, also Venus, with the development of brain, bones, skin. Month 6th, tongue and hearing develop. So it's in the other, the Juan say that it's sensation, but in this case, it seems an interpretation. Then month 7, fetus completes a move towards the exit. And again, he follows the same schema. So after the 7 months, the governance goes back to the first planet, and Saturn takes care of month 8, and then month 9, or if the pregnancy goes beyond month 9, is Jupiter. So you can see a little bit compare here. So it's important to know that the wording is not the same, and in some aspect they may differ, but the structure is similar, the stages are similar, and they both use Quranic terminology, which is important. You don't find Quranic terminology in medical texts. So that made me think that maybe there's a connection between this text by Ali Ibn Said and the Juan al-Safa, and beyond the text of that were introduced by Maslama and this esoteric texts that were influential in Andalus, there was something else. So I started doing some research, and I found yet another description of this same cycle in a Jewish author, also Andalusi. This one is later from the 12th century. Ibn Ezra, he is a well-known author, he is an exegete of the Torah, and he was a philosopher, astrologer, and he has one work on nativities in which he gives, again, the description of the cycle governing the development of the fetus. The correlation is pretty much the same, and it's the same months, and he also uses the same schema. So going back to the first planet in the month number 9, and to the second planet, and month 10, in this case, if it goes back, it's the third one. So Saturn is the 8th, Jupiter 9th, and then if it goes beyond the 9th month, it goes back to the third planet. So it's the same in a summarized form, but 12th century. When you try to look for information prior to the Juan Asafa, well, looking at the usual suspects, the first one is Abu Mashar. Abu Mashar is an astrologer, and he's the most influential one. He worked on nativities. He has many different works on this topic and the judgment of the stars, but he doesn't have anything like that. So I couldn't find anything about the cycle of embryo in Abu Mashar. I could only find this quote, you say three lines, in Al-Kabisi, who is the Latin Alcabitius, also very influential, but it's also this line. So as for the influence, and he says, Istila, of the planets on the fetus, the first month of pregnancy belongs to Saturn, second to Jupiter, and likewise, the seventh month belongs to the moon, the eighth to Saturn, and the ninth to Jupiter. He uses the same schema, but he doesn't elaborate. So it's merely a mention of that. So we cannot see if there's any relationship between the Ikhwan Asafa and Al-Kabisi. Apart from that, the question comes up in religious polemics in Andalusia and the Maghrib. These are later polemics in the 12th century, already late of the Almoravid, beginning of the Almohad period. I have not been able to find previous references to this cycle, but they're also interesting to understand the context of this theory. So the first one is from a Maliki scholar from Al-Andalus, Abu Bakr ibn al-Arabi. He is known as a polemicist and a rigorist, very radical, and he's author of the famous Quranic legal commentary, one of the first ones. So it's about the legal rulings that you can extract from the Quran. And when discussing the Maliki theory of the sleeping baby, so there's a theory that the baby may stay in the womb beyond the 9 months if God wants so, he can be sleeping. So when discussing this theory, he has this quote saying, some of the lazy Malikis have reported that the maximum duration of pregnancy is 9 months, and this was never uttered except by deranged people, namely natural philosophers, Al-Tabai Ayyun, who claimed that the seven planets govern the fetus in the womb, each taking care of 1 month. He clearly refers to this theory, and then even he makes fun about this, the going back to the first planet after the 7 months. Why, after the completion of the cycle, should they return back to Saturn rather than to another? So he clearly is referring to this theory, and he calls the author of all those who support this theory Taba'iyun, so natural philosophers. The second example is also a famous scholar, Al-Qadi Iyad, who lived also in the same period on the Almohad rule, and this appears in a very famous tafsir, hadith commentary. So, Ikmal al-Mu'allim bifawa'id Muslim is a commentary of the Sahih of Muslim, and this is a more succinct reference, but in this case, he's referring to a hadith on the Al-Qadr. There's a hadith saying that after 40 days, well, depending on the version, an angel comes and he touches the fetus and he decides whether he will be successful or not, or he will be a good Muslim or not. And he says, this hadith, there's a refutation of the anatomists and physicians, Ahl al-Tasrih wa-Tib, natural philosophers, again, Tabi'iyin, and those who follow their doctrine, namely, that the claim that the child is formed solely from menstrual blood and that semen has no role in it, except to agulate it, just as rennet curdles milk, in Sahat 11. In this case, there's no reference to the cycle, but this expression, well, first of all, the idea that that semen coagulates the blood appears in the Juan al-Safa, and that's something that you don't find in medical texts, where you can encounter discussions of whether the female semen and male semen have the same role or different roles. But in this case, the physical description of the congealment appears in the Juan al-Safa and not in other texts, as far as I know. And again, this expression, so the rennet curdles milk, so in Fahat al-Laban, is also one of the expressions used by the Juan al-Safa. So, just to conclude and not go any further, maybe the evidence is a little bit flimsy, but I haven't been able to find any reference to this cycle before the 10th century. In the 10th century, we have the Juan al-Safa, which developed this at length. It's a whole risala in the collection, and this small quote by Al-Qabisi, which perhaps was taken from the Juan al-Safa. And at the same time, we find this same cycle described by Ali ibn Sa'id in Al-Andalus, without any further evidence of this being used there. And we know from these polemics in the Maliki text that the theory was known and it was problematic. So in any case, I think there's enough evidence to postulate a possible direct relationship between the Juan al-Safa theory of the embryo cycle and this text by Ali ibn Sa'id. And this would help us to just go beyond the narrow focus of esoteric thinking in Al-Andalus and try to find more evidence in texts on natural philosophy, medicine, and cosmology. So, thank you very much.
Collège de France, le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-de-france.fr, les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.